Sabbath blessings, everyone. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to pray. Please bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this beautiful Sabbath day. Thank you for all the blessings, the answered prayers. There's so much that you're doing. Thank you for keeping the hedge of angels around us as we're doing this work, because the enemy is doing everything he can to slow it down or even stop it. Thank you for forgiving us, cleansing us, and blessing us with the latter rain if we are so worthy, and having such long-suffering and patience towards us, because we have a tendency to trip and fall a lot. And so thank you for blessing us there as well. Please bless everyone here in attendance. Please bless everyone on our prayers, especially those that were listed, like in the prayer request now and the prayer request earlier with the children's study. Thank you so much, Father, for loving us that much. And please accept this prayer. In the name of your Son, who is our Savior and our King for all eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay. All right. I'm putting the mic considerably further away from me. And how's it sound? I'm not over-modulating, am I? Because I think the cat walked on the mixer. Does it sound okay? It sounds good? It's not too... All right, good. All right, good, thanks. Everybody in the room and every... Okay, good. So I would imagine the radio's good, too, because I could see the VU meter there. I have like a... They used to call them VU meters. Volume units, I think that's what it stands for. Okay. All right, since we have covered almost all of the sanctuary and its services, and this includes the reasons for the furnishings right down to the materials they were made of, as well as the colors used. I mean, there's even prophetic reasons for color. Is that amazing? All right, so something that has been repeated time and again the last few months alone has to do with the annual and weekly Sabbath of the Lord. And so I think we should now concentrate our studies in this area, as it would not only exemplify... Okay, let me change this to the study hour. It would not only exemplify the, all that the sanctuary speaks of when it, comes to the will of a holy God. Studying the Sabbath is in a bit more detail in regards to both biblical as well as secular history will help us to come to see a better light as to why the Sabbath was mentioned so often in the sanctuary, and especially why each week there was a service held in the sanctuary on the Sabbath day. Plus, after studying this up, we will then see how the sanctuary services touch on what it means to stand before the throne of a holy God. So the Sabbath is extremely important, and so for maybe for the next couple, three studies, in a couple, 3 weeks, I don't know, we'll kind of concentrate in this area. We still have a few little tidbits to cover. I skipped over some things on purpose in regards to the sanctuary because I figured it would be best to lay a foundation in this area or that area or this area, so that when we go into the really meaty stuff, it'd be a lot easier to understand because we already got a foundation. So, as Sabbath-keeping Christians, we all know about God's law and how it has never, ever changed. Never. Yes, the lost and the confused say it was abolished at the cross because, as prophesied, their pastors are declared to be the ravenous wolves who preach smooth things unto the people. It even prophesied deceit. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 10 said that, but let's see. I don't know if I have the verse. Yeah, thank you for... thanks, Brother Sean, for putting it in the room here. Make sure everything is working right. All right. Isaiah 30, verse 10 says, which say to the seers, and this is talking about the people that are corrupt, the rebellious people. They say, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, and prophesy deceits, of course. Let me put that, I don't know why I forgot to put this in my notes, but let me put this in here because I'm going to eventually put these notes on the site They're not going to be word for word, because I have a tendency to ad lib, and so, but it's huge so far. I have never put it on there, and I'm thinking of just putting it on there in just one big page, which, because I don't have the time to link it out as to this Sabbath, that's, I don't even know. I should have done that from the start, and I didn't do it, and we're almost at 400 pages, and of notes, and so I don't, see how that would be advantageous for me to break it up. So, but as we also know in regards to like what's being said here in Isaiah, the elect cannot be deceived. And but from creation week 6,000 years ago, we saw that the law of God embraced by the Creator Himself when it stated this in Genesis chapter 2 verses 1 to 3. Genesis 2 verses 1 to 3. You can hear me okay on the stream, right? Test. Yeah, it looks like it's going up pretty good. I don't know why the VU on that's higher than the one in my. I should put the mic a little closer because I'm not getting good spikes in the audio software. All right, so Genesis 2 verses 1 to 3. It says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." That verse alone tells you, I mean, first of all, he's God. and how can they say that a God that never changes would, put this, outline this all up in the Bible, and then for some reason we can say, no, we're going to worship on a different day? No, I mean, what amazes me is how the long prophesied wolves of today, and if that offends somebody, I can't really apologize for that, because we're in the extreme end of days. They want a one world government within 10, well, 9.5 years now. And so it's a very strong possibility we're going to see the eastern sky split in their life. And so prophecy calls them wolves. They're wolves. You got to say it like it is. And but they ignore how their very own Creator kept the seventh day holy. In fact, when the same Creator died for mankind, and this includes those that deny his law, we know Jesus actually rested in the tomb on Sabbath day and refused to come forth on that day. So he literally, we know of, just doctrinally speaking, I mean, we know he rests every Sabbath, obviously, yeah. And we know of the 3 years worth of, every now and then they would mention the Sabbath and how he's resting. But it's amazing that he rests on the first Sabbath, and then he rests when he's laying in the tomb for us on that Sabbath. I mean, Adam and Eve kept the Sabbath. For if their Creator did so, one can rest assured that they would do so as well, obviously. I mean, in fact, even before Adam and Eve were created, we see that the angels, they kept the Sabbath day holy. Because we've repeated this verse, I don't know how many times. And it does help people, and I praise God for this verse, because a lot of people think it's a Jewish thing, the commandments. And if that's the case, then Psalm 103:20, how can they not see this? It says, Psalm 103:20, "Bless the Lord, ye his angels, and excel in strength, and do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word." And so the Creator God, his angels, Adam and Eve, and even Abram, who later becomes Abraham, kept the Sabbath long before a Jew was ever even born. For when it comes to Abraham keeping God's law, we see in Genesis 26:5 that it says, "Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes and my laws." And that was even before Moses got the statutes and put them in a pouch on the side of the ark, which was abolished at the cross. It's right there in Colossians chapter 2. So, and that's what Jesus said when he said, "It is finished." You can't say "it is finished" onto an eternal Ten Commandment law. I mean, just going to Revelation 22 tells you that. You can't get in the city of heaven without keeping the law. And that's long after the cross of Christ. 2,000 years, in fact, after the cross of Christ. And so, the angels in heaven kept the Sabbath. The Lord kept the Sabbath in creation week. Abraham kept the Sabbath before Jews were born, let alone being named Israel. Jesus Christ, as his custom was, kept the Sabbath holy as per Luke 4:16. His apostles and disciples kept the Sabbath holy to the point the women, Luke 23:56, check out Luke 23:56, the women who followed Christ's body to the tomb didn't even anoint the body, because Luke 23:56 says they rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Yet to this day the many false prophets declare the Sabbath was changed the split second Jesus died. But if that were the case, why did the women keep it holy? And why did Jesus remain in the grave all day long on Sabbath day and not arise until the sun went down on the first day of the week? You know, because it could have come out of that tomb any time, you know, from sunset on, you know. And the Bible does say it was early in the morning, too, so it could have been one split second after the sun went down. We don't know. We'll find out when we get home. But as with anything else, when people refuse to study the Bibles and allow their pastors to teach them what the Bible says, the lie is going to become the truth, and the truth is going to become the lie. This is why they get so upset with us. The fact there isn't a Bible verse, there's not a single Bible verse from Genesis to Revelation that says God changed the Sabbath day to Sunday. I mean, that fact alone proves most people trust the lie over the biblical truth. This is why they keep saying stuff like, oh, men wrote the Bible. Really? Well, explain these prophecies, hundreds of prophecies. You got hundreds of them about Jesus, and you got hundreds of them about Antichrist, and then you got who knows how many about the stuff that's happening in our generation alone. I never really counted them. But it's their own fault when those plagues start. It's going to be their own. I mean, if they open the Bible, they will know the truth and be ready for the return of Christ and avoid the plagues. But the majority think the Bible was just written by men. They totally, and see, this is I believe why the Lord got me involved and interested in prophecy, even at a young age when I was a Catholic, as a little boy. You know, the Nostradamus thing excited me, and but after I left the Catholic Church and I started doing real Bible study, because back then I was just studying the so-called Catholic prophets and none of them agreed with each other. It was like, who do you pick? Who's your favorite? You know, that's kind of like where you had to hang your hat, you know? But when I came out, I found out, wow, look at that. Jeremiah agrees with Isaiah. Isaiah agrees with Amos. And Amos agrees with David. And none of these guys met each other. You know? It's amazing. But have you ever looked at the Sabbaths, you know, this way? The angels kept it. The Lord kept it. Adam and Eve kept it. Cain and Abel kept it. Enoch kept it. Noah kept it. Moses and the Jewish nation kept it. Jesus kept it. His apostles kept it. His disciples kept it. And then, just as the prophet Daniel predicted when speaking of the beast in Rome, which will think to change times and laws, John declaring all the world wonders after the beast, most Christians in the last day don't even know to keep it holy. But up until 321 AD, even all the Christians kept it. Because it wasn't until 321 AD that they changed it to Sunday. For the Vatican to lie, I mean, it's so easy to expose them on this, but nobody reads Bibles, so it's not really that easy. It's easy for us to see the truth if you open a Bible, but if they don't open a Bible, they can't see this. There's no historic evidence to say that the Sunday started at the minute Jesus came out of the grave. There's not a single Bible verse to back that up. Not even a historic record, in fact. They weren't keeping Sunday until Constantine said, you gotta keep it or we'll kill you. And so that was 321. You know, nearly three centuries after Jesus arose from the dead. So, what they are teaching and preaching is everyone in heaven is keeping the Sabbath. All the patriarchs and prophets of old kept the Sabbath. Jesus kept the Sabbath. His disciples kept the Sabbath. The apostles kept the Sabbath. Then after the cross, their teaching, it was changed. But they're also teaching when we all go back to heaven at the second coming, everyone that has permission to walk into the city will be Sabbath keepers, for the final book of Revelation on the last chapter says, 22:14, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they might have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city. None of what they preach from the pulpits of the many false prophets make any sense here. They're saying before Jesus comes, everybody keeps the Sabbath day Sabbath. From the angels to the patriarchs and prophets to the Jews. And then after Jesus comes, everybody's keeping it. And then even after Jesus leaves and ascends into heaven. Well, see, they're kind of, that's where they get mixed up. When he comes out of the grave, they're saying they change it to Sunday. But then when everybody goes back to heaven at the second coming, because they're not there yet. Everybody goes, you know, look at, no, there's I got a Bible, or I got a video and a Bible study about the state of the dead. And so none of what they preach is making any sense, because how can it be that you keep the Sabbath for 4,000 years and then you keep Sunday for 2,000 years, and then when you go back to heaven, you go back to keeping the Sabbath that you kept for 4,000 years? That's what they're preaching. That's what they're teaching. Because they're saying you do keep the seventh-day Sabbath when you go to heaven. Because they can't get around Revelation 22:14. And the reason it works is because nobody verifies this stuff in the pews. There's not a Berean to be seen. So again, nothing that they're preaching in the pulpits of the many false prophets make any sense. I mean, they claim before the cross everyone kept it, after the cross everyone keeps Sunday holy, and then in heaven we all go back to keeping the Sabbath. And keep in mind, these are the same people that proclaim Matthew 6 verses 9 to 13. Matthew 6 verses 9 to 13. Or maybe just verse 10 here. Anyway, it says they say, "Oh yeah, I'm not gonna read all that." No, that's right. Yeah, I was just putting up the reference. But thanks, Sean, for putting it in the room though, because they say, because that's what they call the Lord's Prayer, right? Even though it's not a prayer, it's an outline for prayer. You know, if you look at John 17, that's a prayer that Jesus literally, that whole chapter is him praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's not saying, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done." You know, he's not saying that. He's showing the basics for prayer, the simplicity of prayer. But here's the key. They think this is a prayer. But look at verse 10. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Right? Even the Catholics call this a prayer. I used to pray the rosary every day, 45 minutes. I would speed rosary, right? Every day, I don't know, I can't remember how many Hail Marys, but you had every new decade you had to throw up an Our Father, right? And so I said that one in my sleep, all of them, you know, we memorized them, not because we memorized them, it's just, repetitive prayer is Catholicism. And so this was just part of being a Catholic. And I kept on, I would say that, I don't know how many times, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Look at the hypocrisy there. Do you see how it doesn't make any sense? I mean, it's plain as the nose on your face there. I mean, they all know his will in heaven is to keep the Sabbath. But on earth, they say you don't. But yet they pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Well, if he's keeping the Sabbath in heaven, why are you keeping Sunday on earth? When you said in your own prayer that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So as prophesied, there has been a great falling away to where most people claiming to be Christians declare God's laws changed. Yet they have nary an in-context Bible verse to back it up. The man of sin in Rome has moved all of them to worship or obey him over and above the God of the Bible. Notice what it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 to 5. Did we lose the connection on the stream? I don't know. Anyway. All right, so yeah, verses 3 to 5 says, "Paul said unto us that we should..." Oh, thanks, Anthony. "All right, that we should let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things?" And we all know that's just describing the Pope. He calls himself God on earth, right? And I have a whole video just about that, where that verse is, hangs up. Well, if you just go to my Antichrist page on the website, I cover that verse in pretty good detail. But the word worship here, by definition, is who you choose to obey That is who you worship. If you obey God, you worship God. If you obey the Pope, you worship the Pope. That's just the way the word's defined. They'll say, it's just like, it's the same thing too. If you kneel and bow before someone, like when you pray to the Lord, you bow, you kneel. But there's a lot of pagan preachers, you know, the wolves, they're out there standing behind pulpits and praying in front of the people on their Sunday or Sabbath service. The SDAs do it all the time. They don't bow down. But that's part of it. When you kneel before God, you're worshiping Him. Well, how many people bow down in front of the Pope? We got a bunch of them on camera. I got a website, rather a video called Papal Worship or some worship of the Pope. I can't remember what it is, but it's just a bunch of pictures of people bowing and kissing his ring. They used to bow and kiss his feet, but they stopped it centuries ago. But the Pope is, in fact, the long prophesied man of sin who changed the Sabbath to Sunday. And as I shared many times before, they admit this in writing. But first see what Daniel said regarding the Vatican's desire to seek worship by changing God's law, wherein they knew that would move people to obey them over the Lord. When speaking of the Antichrist system in Rome, he said this in Daniel 7:25. He said that he shall speak great words against the Most High. Kind of sounds like 2 Thessalonians, don't it? And he shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Well, that's the Inquisition. And it's, of course, the little time of trouble that we're in now. The Muslims are killing Christians left and right, one every 2 minutes. Muslims are actually Roman Catholics. They don't know it, but they do salute the Pope. I got it on camera. They do declare Mary, you know, and the Quran was written by the popes centuries ago. Even their prophet Muhammad was a Jesuit invention. There's a you might want to check out it's a comic book, the way it was with artists did a comic book. Jack Chick did this years ago, but Jack Chick's theology is bad. However, historic referencing is good. And he got together with this Jesuit Rivera, and this Jesuit left the Catholic Church, of course. And then they killed this Jesuit. The Catholic Church killed him for putting this book out called The Prophet, and how they literally showed how, just to give you a quick summary, the Vatican approached 50 young girls that were pregnant and told them, you're going to have a boy, and the boy's going to have a birthmark, and that boy is going to be Muhammad. Right? One out of them 50 girls are going to have a kid with a, you know, is going to have a boy and with a birthmark. They just went with the odds. And they're, of course, devil worshippers, and so the devil might have gotten involved there. But the fact of the matter is, I got a video, you know, Pope wrote Quran, and I got another video where the Pope is working with the Islam to kill the Christians. Just like he worked with the Popes worked with Hitler. They're never going to go out there and kill people like they did during the Inquisitions anymore. They don't have that kind of, well, soon they'll have that power, but they don't have that power yet. Although they'll still do it stealthily. They'll still hide behind and act like they're all moral, because they realize how bad it went for them during Hitler. That's why they invented the Great Tribulation, the 7-year trib thing in the end times, because what they did during the Inquisition, Jesus spoke of, and he called it a Great Tribulation. So they had to hide that. So, but anyway, getting back to Daniel 7:25, he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And then they shall be given into his hand a time and times and dividing of a time. Well, a time is 1 year, a times is 2 years, and the dividing of time is a half a year. That's 3.5 years, or biblical years, you know, 30 days for each month. That's exactly 1,260 days. And then, of course, we know what it says in Numbers and Ezekiel, so a day equals a year. So go 538 to 1798. Daniel said it once, and John the apostle in the book of Revelation said it twice, 1,260 years. That's exactly what happened. The Catholic Church killed those people during those exact years. So now, I'm not going to get into all the verses and historic records that define every word Daniel says here, because even our children know these things now. But for the sake of the babes, go to my Antichrist page on the website when you get a chance. And so, according to prophecy, the popes of Rome will change the calendars. And as we saw them do with what is today called the Gregorian calendar, we use, that's loaded with all these pagan names for each month. Even the days of the week have pagan names. Like Moon Day is now Monday. Friday is Friday. The Day of the Sun, Sunday. Saturn Day. And then Woden's Day for Wednesday, and then Tuesday is another false god and all this. It's really, really strange. But and then you got, you know, like March, that's Mars, you know, the god of war. And so, but I got a page on the site all about that. I don't think I ever did a video on it. But what about changing God's law? We know they changed the calendars from a 30 days for each month to who knows, you know, it's all. I mean, look at leap year. Right now, you're in, if you're under 28 years old, if you're 28 years old or younger, this is your very first Sabbath that was ever dated, February 29th. Every 4 years, we have a leap year. So we got to add a day to our calendars in February. February usually ends on day 28, right? Because the Vatican messed up the calendar because they try to hide the prophetic dates and stuff like that. Now, we're not knowing the day or the hour, but we know the season. And so they figure if they mess up the calendar, it'll be more difficult for us to figure out around the season as to where we're at. And that way they can hide behind it also as to go forth and, you know, enforce the mark of the beast or whatever, you know, their plans are for any time up to that point. But so we know they messed with the calendars. But not only did they remove, they also messed with God's law. Not only did they remove commandment number 2 from their catechism books, because I used to teach those from those books. I was a Catholic. I taught Catholic doctrine. And so that was 35, 6, 7 years. I can't remember how many years. It was in the 80s. And so, but they removed commandment number 2 from their catechism books. It's kind of like they're like a Book of Mormon or something like they do. They have a special book that's their creed. And it's fat. I mean, it's 86% paganism. And I found that out only because after I left the Catholic Church, I started counting how many times they mentioned Christ or anything from the Bible. And I found that 86% of the time you couldn't find it in the Bible, but you could find it in the pagan writings. And so, number 2, well, commandment number 2 was removed, you know, because they bow to statues. And so they got to get that out of there. And then we see the popes of Rome actually admitting this in writing in commandment number 4, which now in the Catholic Church, commandment number 4 is number 3. I don't know if you've ever gone into a Christian bookstore, if you want to call it that, and you'll see, like, sometimes they have these paintings or these nice things that you can, you know, items that you can hang on your wall about the Ten Commandments. You'll notice sometimes that commandment number 3 is the Sabbath commandment, when in fact the Bible says commandment number 4 is the Sabbath commandment. But no, it's the Catholic Church took out commandment number 2, so they just moved up number 3, and then number 10, they split it in 2 so that it'd make it look like they still had 10. But check this out. And I'm probably going to close with this. I'm not going to read all of these because we're already getting too late into the time here. What time is it? Oh, I only got 2 minutes. All right, so this first quote, and I have this on my page on the website. Let me see. I'll put this link in the room if I can get it. Open or wait. Edit hyperlink. Let me go there. Copy. All right, I'll put this in the room here, in the chat room, then I'll put it in the stream here, too. I got all these quotes on this page. All right, this first one's some guy named Masna, Storia della Dominica, whatever that is, from 1969, pages 366 to 7. It says, not the creator of the universe in Genesis 2, verses 1 to 3, but the Catholic Church can claim the honor of having granted a man a pause to his work every 7 days. You see that? They're admitting they changed it. And they're saying they're the ones that give, you know, mankind their Sabbath. Notice this next one. This is Propta Bibliotheca. I don't know why it says Bibliotheca. It should be Biblio. And this is Louis Farrisis. I think he was a preacher or a priest. And it's titled under an article called Papa in regards to the Pope. It's article number 2. It says, the Pope is of great authority and power that he can modify, explain, or even interpret, even divine laws. You know, from the Bible? The Pope can modify divine law, since his power is not of man, but of God, and he is the vicegerent, or replacement, in English, replacement of God upon earth. They literally, and Catholics believe this stuff. I was Catholic. I know I believed this stuff when I was Catholic. Again, from the same guy, but this is his book, Ecclesiastical Dictionary, And he says, the Pope has the power to change times, to abrogate laws, or abrogate means change. And so, just like Daniel said, times and laws, they're admitting it. And then he goes on, he says, and to dispense with all things, even the precepts of Christ, you know, scripture, because Isaiah said precept upon precept. So he's talking about scripture. And then he goes, the Pope has the authority and often exercises it to dispense with the command of Christ. You know, his commandments. Okay, this next one here is kind of a clincher. It's from some priest named Stephen Keenan from a doctrinal catechism on the obedience due to the church, chapter 2, page 174. And it was literally imprimatured by John Cardinal McCloskey. He was Archbishop of New York at the time. I forget the year this was. But the word imprimatur means in Latin, let it be written, which means he's got authority from the Vatican to say this. You know, when you see the words imprimatur, you know this is stamp of approval from the Pope himself. It says, had she not such power, you know, talking about the church having the power to, you know, control or change God's law, had she not such power, she could not have done that which in which all modern religionists agree with her. That's a bold-faced lie. Because even when they wrote that, the Seventh-day Adventist people didn't believe it. Because the Seventh-day Adventist people didn't keep Sunday holy. And then today, the Seventh-day Remnant people don't believe because we don't keep Sunday holy. The SDAs do, though. As a matter of fact, they just did it last month in, where was it? Daytona International Speedway. And then they broke the real Sabbath twice, but then kept the Roman Sabbath. They kept that one holy, but they broke the Sabbath of the Lord. Hence the reason I think the Lord gave me the Malachi sermon series. And so that'll be in a couple of weeks. I'll be starting that. But the it goes on to say the modern religionists agree with her. She could not have substituted the observance of Sunday, the first day of the week, for the observance of Saturday, the seventh day. And now they admit this, a change for which there is no scriptural authority. And they had to say that because of what they said earlier, the Pope can change divine law, which means we have this power. We don't need scriptural authority. We're the Pope, you know. Let's see. And then Canaan and Tradition, this is a book that you would teach from when you're teaching Catholic doctrine. Page 263 says, the authority of the church could therefore not be bound to the authority of the scriptures because the church had changed the Sabbath into Sunday, not by command of Christ, but by its own authority. And I think I'll do one more here. It says, is not every Christian obliged to sanctify? Oh, this is from the Faith of Our Fathers in 1917. Page 72 and 3. It says, is not every Christian obliged to sanctify Sunday and to abstain on that day from unnecessary servile work? Because remember what they said at the first quote? That we have given you a day of pause, so you got to keep it, you know, so you don't do your servile work. And then they say, is not the observance of this law among the most prominent of our sacred duties? Let me stop here, because I was Catholic 29 years. And it wasn't until I left the Catholic Church and remained a Sunday keeper for 10 years, because it took me 10 years to unlearn Catholicism. Me and my wife kept Sunday like it was a real Sabbath. You know, we didn't buy and sell, we didn't do this, we didn't work, whatever. But Catholics, like Baptists or even SDAs and people today, you call this, they say it's their prominent or sacred duty? Well, after every Mass or church service, they go to a restaurant and break Sabbath? Or they go to Walmart and break Sabbath, or they go to some their Sunday Sabbath, I'm saying. You know, their what they call Sabbath, their Sunday thing. And but anyway, it goes on to say, it says, but you may read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and you will not find a single line authorizing the sanctification of Sunday. The scriptures enforce the religious observance of Saturday, a day which we never sanctify. And that was from James Cardinal Gibbons. He wrote the Faith of Our Fathers, okay? And so how is that such a problem, you might ask? I'll share one more quote with you. How is that a problem? And we'll get into a little bit more detail later on in the sanctuary study over the coming months, but for now, I'm going to share just one more quote from the Roman Catholic Vatican regarding their Sunday Sabbath and how it will be a problem for every single solitary soul on earth. And if you saw my last video, you'll see how they work towards that end. It has to do with religious laws. Catholic Record of London, Ontario, September 1st, 1923. And they still weren't in power yet. They didn't get their church and state, you know, their wounded hadn't even started healing yet. That happened in November of 1929 when Gasparini and Mussolini got together. You know, because you got that prophecy. The Pope, you know, the beast that was is not yet is. The Pope that, or the beast that was, is from 538 to 1798. The beast that is not is when Napoleon knocked him out of business until 1929. And the beast that yet is from 1929 to today. And so this is what they said in 1923. They said, Sunday is our mark of authority. The church is above the Bible. And this transference of Sabbath observance is proof of that fact, because everybody keeps Sunday holy. They all keep Sunday holy. They say, well, that proves we're above the Bible because they're all following us. And so there is not a single Bible verse to back up Sunday Sabbath, yet every single Protestant church, and this includes now the Seventh-day Adventist Church, with its many Sunday-keeping churches, and the Sunday Mass that they held at the Daytona Speedway last month, all of them believe Sunday is the Sabbath. And since you can only find this Sabbath change in Catholic dogma, that means the Christians of the world truly do believe the Pope is, in fact, above the Bible. He's God on earth, just as the prophecy said. And so this is why they say the transfer to Sunday is proof they're above the Bible. As prophesied, all the world wanders after the beast. Next Sabbath, we're going to get into the man of sin and how he counterfeited the Sabbath of God by his own Sabbath so as to control the people by force. Satan has always used that which the Lord created, but in his own way, because true worship, as the Lord prefers, is cultivated in love. That's why we don't get the seal of God on the right hand. We only get it in the forehead. We make the conscious decision in our mind, because the forehead, the human brain's been mapped recently, about 20 years ago. So we know the forehead is where we make decisions. And that's why the prophecy stated, even before mankind knew that's how the forehead worked. But back then, when the prophecy was written, it says the people of God will only receive the seal of God in the forehead. But the mark goes in the forehead for the people that think keeping Sunday holy is right. And they also get it in the right hand for those that don't care either way, like atheists, but they don't want to lose their ability to buy and sell. They're forced into getting the mark, because in prophecy, the hand, the right hand, symbolizes your ability to work, you know, or buy and sell. And we all know Satan can't use love. He can only use lust. And when that is not the means by which to move the masses, he then uses force. And so next week we're going to look into that. And I hope and pray that you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. I'll be back in a minute.